The wait is over. Welcome to the Commonwealth Games 2022 for this very special edition of Courtside, the official England netball podcast. The prep, the selection process, the training camps, the endless gym sessions, the ups and the downs. Team England are finally here in Birmingham for one of the highlights of the netball calendar. The girls are raring to go and I'm right here with them, finding out just what it feels like to be at the games over this exciting summer of sport. Lindsay here. As you know, I'm a TV and radio presenter and an international netball commentator. So this is the pinnacle right now. It's been such a treat to be with you on the pod, getting the unique insight into England netball. And by the way, if you have missed any of the series, just go back and have a listen. You know, the likes of Joe Hart and Jess Thirlby and Natalie Metcalf there as well. But this time it's a little bit different because I'm going behind the scenes at the games themselves, hoping to catch up with the players after their first game, explore what life is like in the athletes' accommodation, and I'm hoping to speak to a guest who runs the other side of the white lines. Who will it be? Wait and see. So let's do this. I'm at the NEC in Birmingham and it's the home of netball at the Commonwealth Games. It's also one of the busiest venues. It's hosting table tennis, weightlifting, boxing and badminton as well. But today, you can probably hear the scene is set for netball. So in the middle of the arena, there is a beautiful, pristine, wooden netball court. You can hear the fans going behind me here from floor to ceiling. They are packed in. It is a sellout today, right at the beginning of the games. And outside the NEC, there's so much to do as well. There's a fan zone, there's loads of food stalls, and people have come from all over the world to watch their netball teams. And obviously, we're here with an England slant. So how does it work? Well, over the next 10 days, England will play five route matches against the other countries in Group B. They are Trinidad and Tobago, Malawi, Northern Ireland, Uganda and New Zealand, in that order. And if England finish the group stages in either first or second position, they go through to the semi-final and they'd face a team from the other group, from Group A, which, by the way, includes Jamaica and Australia. So two massive names there. Obviously, if they go through in the semi-final, that would lead them to the final on Sunday, the 7th of August, which is what we're all hoping for. But here are the top facts. Netball made its debut in 1998 in the Kuala Lumpur Games. And since then, England have competed in every single one. And there have been two previous games held here in the UK since netball joined the games. They were in 2002 in Manchester. I remember that one. I went to that. And 2014 in Glasgow. But don't forget, until 2018, Australia and New Zealand had won every major netball competition ever held. So every Netball World Cup, every Commonwealth Games, which is why England's huge win on the Gold Coast was so important. It changed the history of netball. And since then, we've seen a rise in the international game, which is wonderful. But what can this Commonwealth Games bring? Well, England are already underway. They are just coming out of their first game against Trinidad and Tobago with a really convincing win, 74-22. And I'm hoping to catch up with some of the players behind the scenes in the mix zone. Here come England netball then, just making their way, hey, down the line. Wonderful to see the faces. Good first win. The girls looking pretty relaxed. There goes Laura Malcolm, Ellie Cardwell as well. Imogen Allison making her way through too. Brilliant first game. They're looking really happy, really relaxed. There's Jade as well, stopping for a chat. Jade Clark, of course. Oh, and just down the lineup, just past Jeeva Mentor, I can see Helen Housby coming this way, and she will be delighted to be back on home soil. I'm just going to see if I can grab her. Helen, can we have a little word as well? It's the England Netball Podcast.
Oh, cool.
Wonderful to have you on. How did it feel to be back in front of a home crowd?
Oh, it was awesome. To be honest, I think everyone was a little bit nervous to start with. But yeah, just being able to put some goals up and have a big win, it was awesome, especially being in front of our friends and family.
Would you say that you had a game plan for this one that you executed?
Yeah, definitely. We've got a game plan for every team and we're treating every team the same and trying to prepare as best as we can. I definitely think we executed it. We had a big focus on turning the ball over and taking it through to goal cleanly and then backing it up with the centre pass. And yeah, I think we did that. There's definitely always stuff to work on for the next game, but I think we're pretty happy with that first hit out.
And you know how to play the big tournaments. You know how to play the big moments. Are you keeping something in the can at this time? It's only the first game.
Oh, I mean, you've got to go out 100% every game, but I think less than keeping it in the can, you kind of grow every game and you kind of sharpen your skills a little bit. So every game is almost like a stepping block heading towards hopefully the finals. So yeah, we go 100% every time, but you know that you've always got stuff to work on.
And last one for you, what does it mean to be a Rose, to have that red dress back on?
Oh, it's awesome. It's the best feeling to pull this dress on and to run out in front of your friends and family. It's just incredible. And to have the home crowd as well, which we obviously didn't have in 2018, it's really special.
Well, look, back to back, that's what we want. Best of luck with it.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
See ya. Well, I can see the very familiar red ribbon in the hair. Sophie Drakeford-Lewis, welcome to Courtside. You're underway, finally. Does it feel like here we are, it's happening? What was it like to step out in front of such a massive crowd?
Oh, it took my breath away when we walked out for that last bit of the warm-up. Just to see so many people out there with England flags cheering us on, it was unbelievable. And whilst we were out on court, the cheers that came up and the support that we were given by them was amazing, and hopefully that will continue across the rest of the games.
Very convincing win as well, that must feel good.
Yeah, I think so. It was great to get everyone out there. I mean, obviously there's going to be things that we want to work on when we debrief the game tonight, but overall we're taking a lot of belief and confidence from that game, and it's a great start for us.
Fantastic vibe that there is in the England camp as well. And of course, we are the England Netball Podcast. We like to get right inside that. So how does that feel for you? Because it's your first games.
Oh, everyone just wanted to get around us at the end of that game. There were quite a few debuts there today. And it's so exciting that all of us could experience that together and at our home games too. So hopefully there'll be a few celebrations tonight because it was our debuts, but we're really looking forward to coming out here in front of this crowd again tomorrow.
And how did you deal with things last night, knowing you might come on your first game at our Commonwealth Games? How do you deal with the nerves?
It was heightened a lot after the opening ceremony, which was absolutely incredible. We had such a great time, but it made it all seem very real. But today it was all about just getting behind each other, trying to settle those nerves before we went out. And yeah, we just wanted to go out there and have fun and put out on court what we know we can do and what we've done in practice.
This is going to be such a memorable court to you. Your first Commonwealth Games, it's a home games as well. And on the podcast, we like to take people back, just have a think about some of those memories. Oh. Now, when you were a younger player, and you're still a really young, are you the youngest one in the squad?
I am indeed.
There you go. So when you were a younger player, still really young, did you ever think that you would be in this position?
Absolutely not. I remember going and watching my first ever netball match and seeing like some of the England girls out there playing and thinking, wow, that's what I want to do one day, but never really thought it would happen. And to play at the Commonwealth Games, which is the absolute pinnacle of our sport, is incredible and definitely a memory that I'll treasure forever.
And do you have any particular moment that really stands out where things sort of changed for you and suddenly you're on this path?
No, I think for me, I just like embrace every challenge as it comes. And I guess it just shows that hard work and dedication really pays off and resilience really pays off. And to get to experience stuff like this, I'd only encourage people to keep going at it because you never know what you can achieve.
We absolutely love watching you as well. The amount of energy that you've got is quite tiring. To sit on the side and watch it is unbelievable. But what do you tell yourself before a match? Is there anything that you sort of go through? And I've got to ask about the ribbon. Is that a superstitious thing?
Well, the ribbon... I first started wearing a ribbon when I started off my Super League debut for Mavericks. I wore a purple ribbon, then I went to World Youth and wore a red ribbon, and it's kind of stuck since then. I feel lost without it on game day. But yeah, before a game, I just really like to connect with people around me and just make sure like we're all on the same page with the tactics and what we're going to put out there, and just make sure I'm having fun with the girls because that really settles the nerves too. Like, they're a great group and I like love spending time with all of them, and so just to be able to go out there and warm up and cheer them on is great, and it's even more of a highlight to get on court. So I'm really privileged to be in this position, and I can't believe I've just made my Commonwealth Games debut.
You have, and it's brilliantly exciting, and what a stonking win as well.
Yeah.
Just two more questions, because I know that you need to go and have a little rest and then get ready for tomorrow. What actually happens now? So you are through match number one, you've got many more to come. What's the next stage?
So now it'll be an afternoon of kind of recovery, soft tissue massage, physio, ice baths, and then this evening we'll quickly debrief this match and then look ahead to our game against Malawi tomorrow. And then a really early night.
A really early night. Yeah, well, that's fair enough, fair enough. Not much time to regroup, though, is there?
No, but I think that's the great thing about competition netball is, like, we have to take the key things from each game and then move on to the next one. And it's really good that we've got a game tomorrow, and we can just go out there and have another crack at it.
And I'm going to ask you the tough questions because, you know, this is the media and you've got to get used to it. Let's be honest, your big challenge is going to come against New Zealand on Thursday in the group stages. Now, you know what it's like to go out to New Zealand and to win that historic series that you brought home. Are you already thinking about that and how you might approach that one?
I mean, in our prep camps, we've thought about kind of what we want to do out there to kind of break their structures and how we can try and implement what we want to do to break them down. But at the moment, it's each game by game, and we're going to be looking ahead to Malawi, and then we've got a rest day before the game against New Zealand, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of team chat and maybe some walkthrough stuff on court just to make sure that we're all on the same page as to what we need to do on Thursday.
Well, look, we can't wait to watch you. Best of luck with the rest of the tournament, and thank you so much for chatting
with us. Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye. Jess Thilby. Hello. It's so nice to see your smiling face. What a win. Does it feel good to have game number one under your belt?
Yeah, it does. And I think everybody's a bit like, oh, is it good to have it out of the way? And it's like, oh, no, we're not trying to treat the games as though we want to skip past them. I think every game's really important to us. And I guess we were really looking forward to embracing the home crowd. It's been sad playing in front of a lot of empty stadiums the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, that's really buoyed the group. They were buzzing coming out of the warm-up court and onto court. And although it went a bit quiet at times, I think overall we really loved hearing the support. And, yeah, you know, it's an important game. It's a great score on the scoreboard. And there were moments of really good stuff. But we're healthily dissatisfied and wanting a little bit more tomorrow when we go out against Malawi.
I would expect nothing less from you. That's superb. And obviously on the podcast, we like to delve that a little bit deeper. And the question that we want to know is about the dress-giving ceremony, because all the girls have talked about how special it was. Seen them in superhero masks, but what actually happened?
Oh, it was a collection of things, really. We had a lot of video montages from, I guess there was a particular poignant one from the moment that they found out they were selected for the squad. So we went right back to the beginning of this journey, really. And I think for them to see each other's reactions just kind of really reminded them that it doesn't matter if it's your sixth or your first, like, it really means a lot to people. We engaged with family and friends, so they joined on Zoom, where unfortunately we haven't been able to connect with them the last few weeks. And we had some special messages from people, former Roses, current Roses, whom they really look up to and admire. So it was most probably a bit overkill emotionally, but we could do it because we were 48 hours out. So I was like, just cry your eyes out, guys, it's all good. we can turn this around before the first game. And but it was an hour's worth of just some really special moments and a time just to step back, pause and remember kind of the effort that they put themselves through to get themselves to the starting line. And I think to have those intimate moments is really special. And yeah, we had Fran, our CEO, and Joan, who's chairperson of England Netball. So there were just lots of little touches that I think together, it was emotional, but in the best possible way.
You always talk about the family and the group, so it's brilliant to get that insight. I know you want to go and watch Australia and see what they're up to, so congrats, drink that Coke, get some more energy.
Thank you so much.
I'm back
Thank
for game
you.
Two. Good luck.
See you later.
Lovely to see you. Bye. Well, there you go. They've all gone through. It's just me now and producer Chezzy in the mix zone. And you might be able to hear in the background, we've got the build-up music to the next match. There you go, the crowd. So that is Australia coming out to face Barbados. We are well underway at the Commonwealth Games. It's brilliant. And we're going to sneak around and see what else we can bring you. Now, this is definitely one of the best places to be at the NEC. It's the fan park. And just behind me is a large screen TV. There's a netball bouncing off a bench just there. And the big screen TV is showing loads of different sports that are happening here at the Commonwealth Games. I think we've got the triathlon here at the moment. Won a gold medal there, didn't we? Excellent stuff. There's a load of deck chairs, people sitting out watching. There's have a go badminton. There's some weightlifting. Obviously, I'll be over there later on, pumping up my muscles. But what a shot that was. I am in the netball fan zone where there are several hoops. And a little boy just did a huge long shot from a really long way away. And it went straight through. Ah, didn't get the second one, but good try. I'm heading over to the deck chaired area of the fan park, mainly because I want to sit down with these two fabulous ladies. Who have I got? What's your name?
Michelle.
Michelle and?
Elaine.
So I can see two England T-shirts here. It's a bit of a giveaway. Have you just watched the match?
Yeah. We sure have.
And tell me your thoughts after game one of the Commonwealth Games.
nice steady start, getting in there easily, and I think it will become a fantastic effort as they go along into the hopefully latter stages and into the final and retain that gold medal.
Can you describe what the atmosphere was like in there? Because watching live netball is like nothing else.
Well, it's the first time I've ever been to one like that, and it was just amazing, outstanding actually. Makes you feel goosebumply, you know. It was fantastic and lovely to see the players, because I love Helen Hounsby, and I just love her.
And Hounsby, of course, she was on. Jess, they'll be got all 12 players out today.
It was lovely to see them all get a turn. Yeah, very nice.
Go on then, give us your predictions. How far will England get?
The final, for sure. Absolutely.
Well, just brilliant to hear from the fans and also to see the amount of kit and face paint that's going on here in Birmingham. And no doubt many of you are supporting through the England Netball social media channels, by listening on the radio and watching on the TV, no doubt, of course, as well. And a massive thank you for all the messages of support from all over the world that we've had for England Netball, including this one from Blue Peter presenter Mwaksi Mudunda.
Hiya, it's Mwaksi from Blue Peter here, and I absolutely love netball. I would say the main reason is because of how much of a team sport it is. Now, playing goal attack or goal shooter was definitely my favourite position, but you feel the pressure, especially when you're one down and you need to get the next goal in and you don't. And it's very awkward. But having people around you that love the sport and love being a team really encourages you to keep going and to move on, you know, don't be too sad about it, even if you do lose. And that's exactly what I love about netball, the team spirit. So I want to wish England all the best of luck at the Commonwealth Games. You're going to be amazing. Get the goals in. And even if you don't get the goals in, it's going to be okay.
Thanks, Mwaksi. And also check this out. We got this absolute belter from a total legend of sport and a man who knows a thing or two about last gasp victories in major matchups against Australia. He played inside centre for England at the 2003 Rugby Union World Cup. England won in the dying seconds of extra time. Does that remind you of anyone? Helen Hounsby, perhaps? It is, of course, the one and only Will Greenwood.
I am so jealous of you all. Literally every single one of you. Not because it's just the Commonwealth Games and you're representing your country. No, because you get to play the best sport in the world. I think netball's unbelievable. And, what an opportunity you've got over the course of the next couple of weeks to continue to inspire a nation. I wasn't going to train this morning. The alarm went at 6:30. I thought, no, what would the England netball girls do? Get up, get on with it, crack on, be better, finish the day better, look for self-improvement. Amazing. I'll be watching as much of it as I can. I know you'll smash it out of the park. You'll be nimble. You'll pivot. Just wanted to pass my total and utter unconditional support for all of you over the course of the next couple of weeks. And I hope your dreams come true. You don't need luck. You got this.
I really want to bring you the full experience of what it's like to be at the Commonwealth Games. So I've had a look at the fan zone, absolutely brilliant. Seen the court that the players are out on. Just beautiful wooden floorboards, lights, flags, looks incredible. And now I'm taking a bit of a walk round and towards the Athletes' Village. And if you've been keeping an eye across England Netball socials, you'll have caught a couple of glances inside the village itself and just what the players are getting up to. And to be honest, it looks like they're having a great time. They're playing with Bert the ball, they're doing rest and recovery, there's silly card games going on. But many, many of you wanted to know how all that stuff actually gets put together and what happens behind the scenes. And I know just the man to answer your questions. It's Performance Operations Manager and Vitality Roses Team Manager, Paul Dring. Welcome to Courtside.
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for having me. It's a bit of a shock, actually. Why are you asking me?
Well, the first thing I want to say is the opening ceremony. Paul, We saw you there. You were having the time of your life.
It was incredible. I think in a word, I just kind of say epic, really. I mean, home games, I mean, who gets to do that? Who actually gets to walk out? And I mean, I've been to two opening ceremonies now. I never believed I'd even go to ones. But that was, it was ridiculous last night. It was just incredible. I think we all loved it. Loved it.
A home games, you look so happy. All of the players did as well. And we could really pick them out within the England setup. But your job description says that you manage all planning and logistics for the Roses, as well as camps and tours and competitions. And the Commonwealth Games, I mean, it's the pinnacle, isn't it, of the netball calendar along with the World Cup. When did you actually start getting ready for this event?
Wow. a long time ago. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie, we've started thinking about it 3-4 years ago in terms of as soon as we knew where it was going to be and we started to put plans in place. And David, our performance director, now came into post 18 months ago. I think one of the first meetings we had with him was just myself, Jess and David, just to sit around and talk about what do we need to do to give us the best possible chance of winning a gold medal or retain our gold medal. So I would say the detailed planning really started at that stage. Obviously, we'd had a conversation with Team England before that in terms of some of the background logistics, but in terms of what we were going to do as a team and to give ourselves the best possible chance, then yeah, we've been working on this for a long time. So it's always been there in the back of our mind, and everything we've been doing has been working towards this, really.
And people are absolutely fascinated by this stuff. How does it actually work with the roses? They're in the Athletes' Village, which is sort of behind us here.
Yeah, I think what sums up for me or stands out the most is when you walk into dining, it's just so colourful. Everywhere you look is different team uniforms, and everybody is also really territorial as well. They all sit in the same sort of spaces. So you've got Australia in one place, South Africa in another, and us in another, and it's just such a colourful place to be. And then that just sums up for me like the kind of village and the environment that you've got. It's just full of all these different nations all kind of coming together. It's just fantastic.
I've got this image of West Side Story, you know, when the two gangs are on either side and they're doing like the clicking thing. Is that happening? Are people glancing from Australia across to New Zealand?
It's quite strange, actually. Yeah, it doesn't quite get to that level, but you do sort of look over and think, oh yeah, there's the South Africans or there's the Australians. And but no, it's all very friendly. We do actually go across and say hi, and I've done it myself, and we all do it. We all say hi in passing, and it's all very friendly underneath. Yeah, they're all good mates, aren't they? They all play club netball together, so they're always chatting to each other anyway.
Another big question that we've had is, how do you decide who rooms with who?
So yeah, we do this various different ways depending on the tour, but generally for like a big games like this where you're spending a lot of time together, they normally would choose their roommates. So it's people who kind of get, well, know each other's patterns and work best together, really, because obviously given the kind of constraints that we're in, and the rooms are quite small, and with all the games back to back, they kind of need to be able to have the similar sort of sleeping patterns and that kind of thing. So it's generally, I generally work with the leadership group, so Nat and the leadership group, and just kind of ask them, really, and then we'll come back to me and put some recommendations forward, and Jess and I will look at it, and then we'll kind of go, yeah, that works, and we'll go from there. But we can mix it up sometimes. That will differ depending on the tour, but certainly for like games like this, I think we just want people to be as comfortable as they can be, really, because obviously it's pretty intense sort of games back to back and stuff.
And the big one, the one that all the fans want to know, is how is Bert getting on at these Commonwealth Games, the bouncy ball?
He is having the time of his life, honestly. He's been loving it. He's been loving it. And the girls have been looking after him, taking him everywhere. Although I don't think he made it onto court today. And he didn't make it to the opening ceremony because he didn't have accreditation and a team uniform. I couldn't get him in. And so I did try, but I wasn't allowed. But
well, no, he was the only one that was in bed by 10. He knew the rules.
That's right, he was. But no, he's having a great time.
And the other killer question we've all got to know is, are you part of the WhatsApp group? The Girls Roses WhatsApp group.
Oh, they've got their own girls group. I don't get involved in that. So we have a team one that's the staff and players, and then the players have their own players group, and that's not for us. But I know they do it in capitals because they've made mistakes in the past where the person's put the odd message on there that's meant for the players group that's gone into our staff group. So they've had to put it in, I think they have it in real big capitals, this is the players group or something, so that they don't make that mistake again. It's quite embarrassing if they do that.
Absolutely superb. Paul, you're always such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for giving us an insight into camp. You thought that was the end of the interview, but we're going to play 3 seconds or less, which is a quick fire round of questions. Okay. You've got 3 seconds, you know the rules of netball, 3 seconds or less to answer these questions.
I'm going to give it a go. Let's do this.
Here we go. Who in the Roses squad is the most punctual?
Three seconds.
3 seconds or less. Ebony. Excellent. Yeah. Who is the head of entertainment?
Joe.
Who is the best sleeper?
Probably Helen. She sleeps a lot.
Who's always last onto the bus?
Layla.
Come on, Layla. Who's the comedian?
Oh, Laura, probably.
Nice. The mum?
Ebony, obviously. And Savannah, it was amazing. We had Savannah in camp for a bit and she became our little mascot. So that was such a pleasure. It was ace.
So wonderful. The dark horse.
Oh, Sophie Drakeford Lewis.
Ah, fantastic. Sophie Drakeford Lewis.
And she'll hate I've said that, but I've seen a different side to Sophie. I'm not complaining. It's funny, but I didn't expect it.
What's the best part of your job?
Being on the bench with the team and just in that environment and just getting to experience that buzz. It's incredible.
What's your favourite event you've been involved with?
I mean, it's always hard to beat 2018, isn't it? But at the moment, the home games, it's feeling pretty special, yeah.
And the final one, is it Scone or scone?
Definitely scone.
We'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you. No, thanks for having me. Loved it.
Pleasure. Well, what a flavour we are getting of the Commonwealth Games. And I'm super excited now because we're going deep with this one. We're really going behind the scenes. I'm back on the famous court where the matches are taking place. And what a scoop. Fresh out the ice bath, can you believe it? It's umpire Gary Burgess. Welcome to courtside, Gary.
Hi, Lindsay.
It's so wonderful to be in here in this court with you. The lights are down, the music's down. It's a rest after the first two matches of the games, and you've umpired one under your belt. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's great. It's always good to get started. I think this is always a long time coming because immediately the last one finishes, you start building to the next one, and the 4 years has come round very quickly. I know we've had COVID in between, so that makes it even more special to get back out here. But yeah, get the first game under my belt, start things rolling, and know exactly where I am.
And as we said, you've done the first game. Your squeaky trainers were running around this court behind me here. It was Australia against Barbados. What happens now?
Well, every umpire is assessed on every game, and you're only ever guaranteed at an international tournament one game. So the subsequent matches are appointed on performance. So we're assessed over eight competencies, 1 to 4. 1 is good, 4 is not so good. So every umpire strives to get an 8 in the game, and we never know the scores. That's for the assessors to do, but they do an outstanding job in telling us our areas of strength in particular, in all of those areas. And then we take that into the next game, and basically a tournament like this, you're adding polish to your performance, so by the time you get towards the end of a tournament, you're umpiring at the very best you possibly can.
That is unbelievable, because I thought it would be, right, we've got this many games, this is your rota, but it's not like that at all. It's if you are building to the semi-final and the final, that's because of your performance.
Yeah, absolutely right. So all of those matches are allocated on performance, but also there's a consideration of neutrality as well. So there might be times when it works swings and roundabouts, but you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to aspire to be the best version of ourselves, and if we're appointed to the games at the end of the week, that's a bonus.
There you go. And you've done well. Let's just have a little listen to what you've done. We've got some music in the background as well. They're doing rehearsals here before the next matches. 13 Super League finals, 3 Netball World Cup finals, so you've made it to the end 3 times, which is fabulous. 2 Commonwealth Games finals, 115 now international yeah. matches, because you did one today as well, and over 200 Super League matches. I mean, your credentials are amazing, and when it gets to a competition like this, there are so many intricacies that we don't know about. Are you allowed to umpire home nations games?
Well, you can umpire home nations matches, but you can never umpire your own country. And obviously, during the COVID period, we couldn't actually get international umpires over. So I did umpire England at the Quad Series earlier on in the year, but that really was a one-off. I think we always try and default to neutrality because, you know, you just eradicate all of that second guessing. You know, no matter how impartial you are as an umpire, I think if there is that in the mix, then you do kind of could give some people the ammunition they perhaps might be looking for.
And are you all paid for being here and doing the games?
Oh, no, absolutely not. No, we're here as volunteers. So we have a daily allowance to buy our food and things, and all of our expenses are paid, and travel is all paid. But no, we are pure volunteers at this level.
What an incredible amount goes into an event like this. It's fascinating to hear that. Do you ever get nervous?
I'm a strong believer in being nervous. My mentor, first mentor, who's still my mentor now, 22 years, Sheila Redpath, she's actually in charge of the technical officials. She always said to me, if you stop being nervous, it means you don't care. So nerves are good. Nerves are good.
And what about the big rivalries on court? You know, you're looking at the England, Australia, the New Zealand, Australia. How do you approach those big games? So you can't do an England, Australia final, say, but if you did have New Zealand and Australia, that's massive. The eyes of the world are on you. How do you approach that?
Well, I think the best way to do it is approach every game as if it was the first time, and don't go into a match with any preconceived ideas. Of course, you're going to know about the styles of play. So New Zealand play a zonal game. It's very much like building a wall layer by layer by layer. So you might need to hold as an umpire, whereas Australia have a quite fast through court space. So you know that you're going to have to commit to the goal line at speed and just basically get on your bike like. So it's that sort of stuff. But I think the secret really is to go into every game fresh, no preconceptions about players in particular, and give everyone a new fair shot every time you see them.
And the umpire's role, as you say there, that the fair shot and approaching each game, it's such an important role. And we often talk about players having to play to the umpire, not the other way around. You know, they need to get used to the way that you look after the game. Do you sort of set out what you expect at the beginning of every game so the players know where they are?
Well, I think as you're developing an umpire, all of the umpire coaches say to you, you know, go and set your stall out in the first 5 minutes. But actually, I think one of the beauties of the way in which I umpire, I strive to be consistent, but not necessarily just consistent through the game, but from game to game, from year to year. So I've umpired in the style and the way that I do or have for quite a while now. So there isn't really any need to set the stall out. It kind of could be quite restrictive. So actually, the first whistle goes, you're firing all cylinders, you're playing fantastic advantages from the off. And that just gives the players that, you know, let's go for it. Let's just go and, you know, our job really is to make them as outstanding athletes as we know that they are. So if they do everything right, we don't really have to do that much.
Well, I was going to ask you about whistle and advantage, particularly with teams like Australia who play that speed through the court. I know you're really keen on keeping the game moving.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so advantage in particular is just about vision. I mean, we work on focus visions, which is the thing that you look straight at, and then peripheral vision, which is the width of vision, and you actually use your peripheral vision to see where the ball's going. Now, if that's really wide and actually you can trust it really well, it means you can play advantage really well because you can see the destination or the output if an infringement occurs. So that really is the secret of elite umpiring. An umpire that plays great advantage is the difference between somebody in the crowd plumped in their seat not doing and actually playing fantastic advantage, so they're on the edge of their seat, I'm in an R-ing and getting really excited. So that's what you can do if you get it right.
And we're seeing that with the fans here as well. The crowds that are now coming into netball, unbelievable. And on court side, Gary, we like to take players and coaches and umpires back to a court that's particularly meant something to them. Do you have a standout netball memory? Is there a moment or a court where you think, that was such an important part of who I am in my career?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky. I actually umpired the world record Delhi Commonwealth Games final in 2010. And I forget exactly how much longer it went on, but it was tied. Australia and New Zealand was tied at full time. It went through both periods of 7 minutes at extra time. And then I think it went on for another 18 minutes. And just to be involved in that game, everyone regards that game as one of the best netball games of all time. It wasn't necessarily about me. It absolutely wasn't about me. But those two teams were absolutely outstanding. And that will be a very special memory for me.
I'm so pleased that you talked about that, and I can tell you that it was 85 minutes on court. Unbelievable. And as you've mentioned, it went through the normal time, then through extra time, and the final score was 66-64. Do you know who won?
I do know who won. It was New Zealand.
It was New Zealand. How wonderful that you umpired that match. What a brilliant memory as well. Just to finish, and it's always such a pleasure talking to you, I wanted to ask, well, what about this game's? The umpires are mic'd, which I think is new. I don't think I've come across that in a live stadium. Yeah, we get it on the TV, but in live stadium before, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely a new thing for this event. And we came into camp. We were in camp in Loughborough for 2 days to just work on rules and consistency. But we also came to rehearsals for two matches yesterday. And it really is... so often people kind of sit next to each other in a netball venue. What was that for? What was this for? And that just eradicates everything there. But obviously, we have to be very, very clear and not necessarily watch our P's and Q's because we always did that on TV. But again, it's just... making sure that you're very clear in your delivery, both for the players, that's the primary goal, but then also for those people that are watching both here and on TV. And I think one of my recollections from this match is that they can actually hear my actual delivery in here. So there was a gasp of when I delivered something that I would do 100 times before when delivering a caution. So it actually isn't that much of a big deal, but everyone, because they could hear it, they were like, oh, I see.
Oh, we feel like we're involved. We feel like, you know, we're really influencing, which we're not at all. You're making your own decisions. But it means all the fans are second umpires now, which is actually really fun for us.
Yeah, I think if it helps people to understand the game more, and it brings more people into officiating. I mean, the counties and regions have done no end of good this year. We've qualified nearly 1,500 umpires since September the 1st when we returned to assessing umpires following COVID. 1,500 umpires is the best record by probably about 500 compared to any time before. So, I mean, there are more and more people coming through the pathway, and if we can educate those that might be thinking about it, it might push them over the edge to go on one of our courses too. So, great.
Well, look, it's always, as I said, it's such a joy talking to you. We get such an insight. I hope you can rest those legs and maybe enjoy another ice bath. You know, it sounded pretty pleasant, or is it horrible?
Oh, it's absolutely horrible. But the thing is, you know, you've got to get in there, because this is like nothing else. You don't normally umpire potentially 8 games day after day. So commit to the ice, and pain is a good thing, right?
Well, there you go, a flavour of the Commonwealth Games 2022 in Birmingham. And what a day it's been. Just incredible to see the number of fans that have come down to see this sport. Best of luck to all the home nations taking part in the tournament. We cannot wait to see the thrills and the spills that you put out on court. And of course, a special shout out to England Netball, hoping to go back to back. We are with you every step of the way. But it doesn't end here, because the 28th of July, the opening ceremony here in Birmingham, also marked exactly a year until the start of the Netball World Cup in 2023 in Cape Town, South Africa. There is so much to look forward to with this sport, and we are going to be cheering on those roses all the way. I will see you next time right here on Courtside.